slowly rolling into it and off of corner number four. It's showtime at Skagit Speedway.
It's the final car to qualify tonight for the 410s at Arlington Washington, Triple X Sharp, Grinders Automotive and Marine, Triple X Race Components, Johansson Mechanical, High Performance Lubricants, Pacific Performance Coatings. That's the 21 of Jesse Schlottfeld.
It's showtime!
One car with the front of it that was junk, and another car with the back of it was junk. So I cut both of them in half, took the good part of one car and the good part of the other car, and welded them together.
The reason why I decided to, you know, move to Sean's number and use it, just because in memory of Sean was his V8, and I just kind of lived for racing and racing with his number, just to remember him by.
Race him, and next thing you know, she's on the flag stand, running the, doing flag and all my quartermate. I'm like, where did you come from?
My experience, you gotta have desire. It's a tough sport. Spend a lot of time away, and you definitely have to want it. You know, you can't just say you want it. You got to want it. You got to have that desire that drives you through a lot of the tough times. And so for me, that's what it's always been about, is coming back to why I do this. And it's kept me around for this long. So
I hope they just soak it all in, because you don't know when it could be over, right? Like, you might, mom and dad can't do this anymore, right? We don't have the money, or we can't find the sponsors, whatever it is. I just... soak it all up while it's happening, man.
Well, welcome in to this week's edition of On the Gas, a Skagit Speedway podcast, episode 8. Blake Anderson's back in the house. I'm Eric List. Blake, you're back from Knoxville. Ryan Timms gets it done. How was your trip?
That was an impressive run by Ryan Timms, that's for sure. It was a good trip. It was good to go home, see some family and friends, hang out at the trunk bar. I think our award, we gave away $1,900 to the first non-transfer out of the D-Main. So we had the thing that made us laugh the most is a guy crashed trying to back up to get to our award, because it paid more to get our award than it paid to transfer and then transfer again out of the sea. So
that's... Did you throw him a couple bucks then? Go, here's a fiver.
Yeah, exactly. So, no, it was a good trip back home. The crowds were incredible. The Wednesday night crowd was... mm-hmm. Without a doubt, the largest Wednesday night crowd I've ever seen. It felt
That's
like a Friday
were saying.
5 or 8 years ago. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just a concourse on Wednesday. It was like, man, this is Wednesday and it's this full already. So, no, that was good. It was incredible crowds, incredible energy. Ryan Timms, local car, first local car to win the Knoxville Nationals since Wolfgang in 78. So, it was a very popular win. Probably, I'd say, even more popular when Larson got his first. I would say the most popular since Jason Johnson, because that was just such a massive upset to take down Donnie at that point. And that was neat. I mean, Ryan Timms, an 18-year-old kid starting on the pole in Knoxville, and leads all 50 laps and pretty much, for the most part, out of two minor incidents, ran a perfect race. Made contact with Spencer Baston, lapping him right before the halfway break, and then I think like 4 or 5 to go, missed the exit of turn 4 just barely. Mm-hmm. Didn't cost him anything, but outside of that, I mean, he was 100% flawless. It was just incredible to watch. And that 10 car's been so fast at Knoxville. Mm-hmm. Scott Boguski ran, I think, 8th in the Nationals a year ago in that car. Shane Liebig, they've got a top-notch ride. They've got this 20-year-old Speedway motor that hits. It was 20-year-old motor. They just keep refreshing. I don't know if that's the one they had in, but that's one they run quite a bit as a 20-year-old. I think it was a 20-year-old Speedway is what I was told. But
wow.
Shane's impressive. They've built quite the team. They drive 9 hours a week to run Knoxville. Drive all the way from Rapid City, South Dakota. That's,
yes, sir.
As you know, Eric, Rapid City to Sioux Falls is 4 hours of arguably the most boring 4 hours of driving a guy can do.
There's nothing.
Nebraska will take the cake there, so I'll put it second most boring. But, yeah, you can fall asleep and wake up an hour later, and if your car's going straight, you're still on I-90.
Yeah.
You are not missing anything. Yeah. But, no, they make that tour every week, and that was neat to see. I mean, that's wow. Yeah, I mean, then the racing behind him was incredible, though. Mm-hmm. Second to fifth, the racing was incredible. David Gravel storming through the field, kind of embracing this villain role, which I love. We need that. Mm-hmm. Sports is fueled by rivalries and villains, and David seems to kind of be embracing that role, which is neat. Rico was fast. That's our guy. The trunk bar, we thought we were maybe going to have a chance. Pretty exciting stuff. But he ran second, which is a dang good run, and that $85,000 for running second, that's not a bad day at the office.
$15,000 to start is not a bad day at the office.
It's quite the event.
Yeah. I always hear you reference the trunk bar, and I haven't. What is the trunk bar? I don't know if I've
nothing,
even asked.
It's nothing big.
Is it a bar, or is it just?
It's a trunk.
It's a trunk.
We started drinking out of a trunk my first year at Knoxville in 2009, and jokingly called it the trunk bar, and it stuck. And now we drink at it every night after the races. We go to they have a post race concert every night after the races, and we go to the post race concert. We kind of have our parking spot that everyone knows this is where we're going to be, and they kind of maybe save a little bit for us, but we get there a little early enough to get in pulled in right next to the stage and. We open the trunk, or pull out some coolers, set on the ground. We set up the coolers full, and then they got liquor, beer, and come on by, have a drink with us, and throw a couple dollars in our donation bin, and that goes to the racers.
We
buy all the beer out of our own pockets and just want to make sure everyone has a good time. We like being a part of the event, and we figured it was a good way. Honestly, it started as a joke one night when we were, I don't know, 5, 6 years ago, just like, we need to do an award. How fun would that be? We can maybe get... $500.
Yeah.
So we said we'll do it for the humane, and we haven't been under like $1,100 in the 6 years we've done the award. So we, the first, I don't know, 4 or 5 years, we had a giant IOU check. It was like on a sticky note that they just blew up. Tyler Altmaier did it for us, the sign company, and we did it on a big sticky note that had IOU, and we'd write the total on it. We haven't done that for a couple years. The last one got stolen, ironically. So
like
we haven't
stolen done before you could give it to the driver.
Yeah.
Really?
So Aaron, one of the guys in the trunk bar, he heads up camping, and he does Victory Lane there too. And he was sitting at the gate in turn four and had to run off real quick for like a minute, left it leaning on his golf cart. I would have done the same thing, came back and it was gone. He was like, there's a million people around there. You wouldn't. So
it's
I don't know.
Midwest. But, I feel like people don't steal back in the Midwest.
But none. They don't for the most part, but you got a lot of people from all over the world. So, but no, we wanted to give back to the sport, and we give an opportunity to the fans. I mean, we put in a lot of money on our own, but the fans donate a lot too, and we're very open about that. We thought we were going to get to $2,000 this year, which was our goal, but we just ended up like $89 short. That's all right. But no, that's what we like to do. We like to give back to the sport, and that's kind of our goofy way to do it is make sure everyone has a good time. It's my favorite week of the year. So if you get a chance to go to the Nationals, definitely do it. Sprint Car Hall of Fame. The whole city just shuts down for Knoxville. Golf carts all over. But if you really get a chance to go racing somewhere, come to Skagit Nationals.
Yeah.
Hint, hint. Buy your tickets now.
Online.
That's going to be big.
Com.
Yeah. 126 to win. We'll talk about that at the end of the show. But, yeah, it was a great week. It's good to be back here. We're back to the grind. We'll talk about what's coming up at the end of the show. But a busy couple of weeks ahead for us here at Skagit Speedway. You had monster trucks last week,
Eric. Did have something I haven't seen before. Because usually I've left for college at this point.
Yeah.
And even when Skagit had monster trucks, but, well... I guess I don't know off the top of my head how long monster trucks have been coming here. Even when
I feel like
quite a while. Even when I've been here, I had never come to monster trucks. It was a good show.
Different crowd.
It was very different. Saturday was a good crowd. Sunday was a little bit smaller, but it wasn't bad.
Are we getting you in a tough truck next year?
You know, I would love to get in a tough truck.
I'll have to work on that.
Shout out Tanner Holm. I'll have to show you. He was FPV, so he has a drone.
Yes, and I saw he posted
some
videos.
He was flying around. Some of the stuff he got of the tough trucks are really good.
Yeah. So that IE race fans, subscribe to our YouTube short, our YouTube channel and TikTok channel, because our TikTok page, I don't know what you'd call it.
Yeah.
Because we'll have maybe have some of that FVP stuff up.
Yeah, we'll have to get some of that up. But no, Monster Trucks is good. It's amazing to watch them come in, and it's a legit two-hour show. And so Dallas is the one who does the broadcasting, and then he was upset about 1 minute late. Saturday he was 1 minute over his show. Like, and props to him for being upset about that. If we were 1 minute late on
oh my gosh,
if we'd be ecstatic.
15 minutes late, we're like, oh, that's not a bad night. We only went to 10:15.
And then I think, what did he say? He was like 6 minutes early Sunday, so not enough 5 minutes at the end of it. So,
I don't think you probably had one fan complain that he went to 9:01.
No. Well, and when they're staying to just ride the monster trucks after the fact, you're not. Yeah. I will admit, maybe did watch a little bit of the Knoxville Nationals while trying to.
The Super Bowl of our sport is happening.
I knew the weather was going to be a thing. And actually, I know you've talked about that. What was the weather like? Wasn't bad?
It was not bad at all. I mean, we got a couple inches of rain on Thursday morning.
Okay.
But that's the morning I had the Knoxville Announcers Forum. So I was on a forum there, and that was fun to talk Knoxville and Skagit in front of some race fans. And then got out of that at like 11:30, and they were working the racetrack. And then I was on the State of the Sport panel board, so I got to really talk about Skagit and all the great things we've got going here. And that started at 1:30, and I looked out the window and ended about 3, a little after 3, looked out the windows of the Hall of Fame at 3, and they were watering the racetrack.
All
right. We got 2 to 2.5, 3 inches of rain overnight and into the morning. And they were watering the racetrack 3 hours later. So,
yeah.
But no, Friday night, they had this – I mean, you would have looked at your phone and
said – I saw it on the broadcast.
We are not racing
when
tomorrow.
When they stopped everything before the A-Man was like – everyone, what, the text, sign up to get text or something about it? Like,
and you looked at the weather and you're like, there's no way we're racing tomorrow.
Yeah.
Not a chance. I mean, 20%, 10 to 20% chance we're racing tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And then you looked at the weather and you're like, I don't know if they're going to race until Tuesday because Sunday's weather looked terrible. Monday did not look good. Didn't get a drop of rain. And then texting in the Trunk Bar chat on Sunday, and those guys all live in Knoxville or around the Knoxville area, and they said, we haven't got a drop of rain today.
Hmm.
Like,
weird.
They're doing driver intros on Saturday night. And we sit down in turn one, and the wind is blowing from the east across the west, and you're looking to the east, and it's just a wall of black clouds coming at us. And they're doing driver intros, and it's like, what are we doing, guys? Get going. Like, is this not on the radar, or... I mean, it was like this death wall of clouds coming at us. And it got to the racetrack and was absolutely nothing.
Mother Nature loves sprint car racing.
Didn't even gust, didn't even pick up. You didn't even think about it. Like, you just kind of watch it during driver intros. Like, they are wasting time. We got to go.
Yeah.
It's just black to the east.
Did they hustle through the show like this? I mean,
yeah.
They definitely moved through
the show. I mean, the pump, they still had the fireworks and driver intros, but it was not. Usually there's a little bit longer breaks between the D and the E. They scrapped the E main and moved those cars to the D. So we had a 25-car D main.
It was actually probably be pretty fun to watch.
Which was chaos, but they did a good job. And usually it's a little bit more time between the races.
Usually
kind of
time that.
To go beer. But now it was like they were moving. They were trucking. And shoot, I was out till, I don't know, I was out late because the post-race concert started at 1:30. On Saturday night, they had a DJ, and I was out well into that, and it did not rain. And you thought it was going to rain because I went home later than that. Won't say the time, but it was late. And the only reason I left is because I thought, oh, boy, it's going to rain.
Yeah.
Nope.
Really?
So it was a whole lot of nothing, thankfully.
How late would they be willing to push back the Nationals, you think? Because at what point are you kind of SOL because you got to send teams on their way, but you want to get the race in?
But, I mean, we've ran on Sundays. My first year announcing at Knoxville 2009 was the last time we ran on Sunday.
Okay.
Donnie won on a Sunday. Before that, it was 05. Craig Kinzer won on a Sunday. Don't test me before that.
No,
I know 1980, Steve Kinzer's.
Would they go past a Sunday?
If they had to, I would imagine. I mean, it's an outlaw-sanctioned race, and the Outlaws run in Ogilvie, Minnesota on Friday. So
they've got
4 or 5 hour tow.
Yeah, that's not bad.
It's the Nationals. The tickets are sold. Mm-hmm. I look at it from a business standpoint. I would say, hey, we're going to run it as soon as we can. We're not doing refunds. Like, this is a lot of money. You figure, you know, 22,500 seats times $60 ticket.
Adds up quickly.
You got seven figures worth of refunds to do there, literally.
Yeah.
So I would think they would run it.
Okay.
But I honestly don't know. I guess I've never really faced that, knock on wood.
Yeah.
If you looked at the weather on Saturday, though, Friday, you're like, if we don't get it in Saturday, they would have got it in on Sunday, but you would have looked at the weather and said, you're not racing until Tuesday.
That's what I thought.
And that's when it gets difficult because the high limit teams all those guys, I mean, you look, Rico was starting sixth. High limit guy starting sixth in the biggest race in the world.
Yeah.
And he's got to be in California on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
That would have put those guys in a tight spot. They could have done it, but they'd have been in a bind. I think everyone probably would have stayed, and High Limit maybe would have adjusted things a little bit.
Because,
I mean, it's hard to tell a guy he can't run the 15,000 to start A main.
Correct. You want that.
You probably, honestly, you might have had guys that would have said, okay, I'm staying. I'm not leaving. I don't think you would have, but there's a potential.
It would have been interesting.
It's a lot of money.
Yeah.
But the High Limit charter system is also a lot of money.
Yeah.
And that's got a lot of guys thinking. I mean, You look at the news that came out of Knoxville, Spencer Baston out of a ride. He's out of the 14.
So what do you think about that?
Yeah, that Spencer, he struggled, but he can do it. I mean, he's got outlaw wins.
I think so, for sure.
He won with us with the All-Stars. We'll see where he lands. He'll land somewhere. He's a good kid. Then to the news dropped today of Donnie Schatz out of the 15 car, and that was one of those where the rumors were swirling at Nationals, but I always shot him down. I'm like, I don't know. Yeah. They've been swirling for 4 years. Eventually this is going to come true, but I'm not going to believe it till I see the press release. So, well, today it came out, Kerry Mattson in the 15 car. Kerry's going to be out of the car in 2 weeks for just the weekend because he's in the Knoxville points points. Okay. So they're going to have an interim driver. I did see that in the press release next weekend, not this upcoming week, but the following weekend, the 23rd. They'll have an interim driver, and then he'll be back in it the rest of the year. Moving forward, it'll be interesting to see because the press release read like Kerry's just finishing the year, and then they'll evaluate from there. Obviously, there's some big-name guys out there looking for rides right now. Obviously, the biggest probably being Giovanni Selzy.
I think he could do really well in that car.
I think Gio could do quite well in that car. I'll be very interested to see where he goes because he's just filling the seat for Tyler Courtney. Then you look at Justin Sanders is going to be in the 87, but they announced the press release he's going to be in the 87 through California.
Yeah.
Leaving, obviously, Washington.
Open
heard
to...
rumblings of there's maybe a small potential that Reitzel's back in the 87 for Skagit Nationals. We'll see. Which, selfishly, I sit here and think on the promoting side, I hope he is.
Me too.
One reason, I love watching Aaron Reitzel drive a race car. I feel like he's probably one of the hardest driving guys in the country. And two, that probably adds two more cars to our car count because I think if he runs, then probably Sanders comes up with Demo.
I think so too.
And then Max comes up where I feel like I don't know if Max will come up. I would be surprised if he came up if it were just one car. We'll see. But
that's all speculation.
All purely speculation there. There's some moving and shaking going on in the sprint car world right now.
Silly season's fun.
It is. I love it and I hate it. Obviously, I enjoy the speculation game, but I hate it because now as I'm an adult, I realize that's a guy out of a job. You know, that I can't imagine the stress of sitting there not knowing what's next. If you're a sprint car driver, if there is a next, and trying to evaluate, well, if there's not, what do I do with my life? Because that's all I know is sprint car driving. So, yeah, you've got some talented guys, some with a checkbook that can bring some money to your program looking for rides. So I would say the next 3 or 4 months in sprint car racing is going to be very interesting.
Oh, it's going to be great. Do you see a world where Donnie would hang it up, or do you think he'll be in a car next year?
I don't.
I know what you've said off air. We don't have to get, but
yeah, I will say I expect Donnie to be in a sprint car next year. I don't know if he'll drive one this year. I don't know. I think probably spend some time with his nieces. They're starting in 410 racing, but I don't know. I haven't talked to Donnie about that. Fully transparent, I haven't talked to him. Hello, and I wasn't going to ask him, hey, Donnie, if you get out of the 15 next week, what are you going to do? No, and I'm certainly not going to text him and ask him right now.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure he's got a million people blowing his phone up. But
1,000%.
I expect Donnie to be in a race car next year. I don't think he's done. He's still got a lot of wins left in him, and I do feel like you and I talked about off air, I feel like if that's the route he goes, that he'll win some races next year.
I think so, too.
Yeah, I think that you'll see Donnie in a race car. I don't expect to not see him again. It was neat at Knoxville to see Steve Kinser riding his bike around, though.
Was Steve there?
Yep.
Okay.
Talked to Steve for a minute. That was good to catch up with him. Obviously, I mean, he's sprint car racing.
Yeah. How about Sammy Swindell though at Knoxville?
That was
awesome. Those two preliminary nights, pretty darn cool. And then what? No, preliminary night and then Friday
then
night.
Friday and Saturday transferred into the B. I mean, 69 years old, the guy's still out there hustling. And quite honestly, that was as good as I've seen him look in a while.
Oh, I agree.
He was in that car last year, and they were terrible. Mm-hmm. They were awful. I think they were in the E, maybe the D.
Yeah, at least.
They were not good.
No.
He was not good. And then they were darn good. They figured it out. So that was neat to see. I mean, the older I get, the more I kind of appreciate that because you just don't know how much you're going to see it again, especially now. Guys are hanging it up in their 40s. They're not driving till... I don't expect to see any of these young guys drive until they're mid-50s, 60. Like, you look at
Donnie.
But
they're starting so young now compared to what they were 20 years ago.
I mean, Donnie's 45, might be even a tick older, and he's on the older edge of everything. Mm-hmm. And you look, you know, 10, 15 years ago, he'd have been right in the prime at that age. Now, these guys are going outlaw racing at 20 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And they're 25 years under his belt.
They've been in, you know, micros and everything. They've made that progression up. And
this Saturday or Friday at Ogilvy, if say Donnie's not there, say he doesn't put a car together and doesn't have a plan, that'll be odd.
It'll be really odd.
Donnie, he's been full-time with the Outlaws, a full-time driver since 1997.
Yeah.
That's 28 years ago. I mean, not 1 year in that year has he stepped away and not run full-time. So I'd have to ask Gibson when the last time Donnie missed an Outlaw race was.
I don't know if he's.
I know he ran some USAC pavement stuff in there, some crown stuff, but I don't know if he missed an Outlaw race to do that. That was in the early 2000s.
He wouldn't have missed it anytime he did some of the truck stuff, right?
No, because he only ran Knoxville. I don't remember them putting someone in the car that night, though. He ran a truck race at Knoxville. I don't know. I'd have to look back, honestly, but I mean. But a handful of races, maybe, probably count on one hand how many he's missed this century.
First Outlaw race I ever saw was here at Skagit Speedway, and Donnie Schatz won.
Yeah. I mean, gosh. Like, a legendary run for him at TSR. He's been there since 2008. Yeah. 17 seasons, 234 wins, 9 Knoxville Nationals, 8 Outlaw Championships. I mean, today we just saw arguably the greatest driver-owner combination, or one of them. You put it up there with Steve and Carl combinations in sprint car racing history. And they were together a long time.
What started that pairing? Did Tony approach Donnie?
I don't know how. When I remember the rumors, so I can remember the rumors swirling the summer of 07 because sprint cars were on ESPN2 that summer.
Okay.
On Sunday afternoons. And Sean Buckley's pit report. And I remember it might have been the Atomic race, him talking to Donnie about it. Donnie kind of shooting it down. That Atomic race also was the race that Terry McCarl infamously or famously waved to Donnie Schatz as he passed him, the wave. But I remember the rumors swirling that year. And then 2008, Donnie's in the TSR 15, TSR 20 still out there. Tony had a two-car team there for a couple of years. But that was right about when Donnie was starting to chip away at things. He won his first Outlaw Championship in 06, the year of the split. And then two years later, he pairs up with TSR and here we are 17 years later. I mean, I've been working in sprint cars since 2009, and it's all I've ever known for 16 years is Donnie Schatz and Tony Stewart. So that'll be interesting. That's a long pairing, especially this day and age. You just don't see the pairings last that long. I feel like they go 4 or 5 years.
And it's been through different crew chiefs and different, he's stuck it out.
Ricky to Scuba to Todd Devenich now. So,
yeah
that was quite the bombshell on the sprint car world today. I imagine Tyler Altmaier's frillyinjected.com. has been bumping today. I saw earlier within a half hour it had 70 retweets.
Yeah.
So I imagine his website hits are doing quite well today.
Oh, probably. Well, anyways, we had Monster Trucks here at Skagit Speedway. A nice 2-day show. Thank you, everyone who came out. We hope to see, you guys coming back. But we've got a fun guest on the show this week. We talked to Jesse Schlottfeldt, a guy who spent a long time here at Skagit Speedway. A lot of time he grew up around here in the Pacific Northwest.
He talks about
Deming
that.
And Skagit, so... he runs a 3.6 and a 4.10 with that, Blake. Unless you got anything else to add, I think we'll...
All good.
We'll get to our conversation then with Jesse Schlottfeldt. We bring in our guest, Jesse Schlottfeldt, a driver of a 3.60 and a 4.10 this year at Skagit Speedway. And we'll be doing both this weekend with a double show. Jesse, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me.
So, Jesse, just kind of first out, how do you feel like your season's been so far in 2025?
Yeah, I feel like, obviously, I've improved a lot from the past couple of years. But I feel like, even with all the success, I've had a lot of missed opportunities. So, we're just trying to focus on capitalizing on, obviously the opportunities that we've missed.
How big has it been to work with Hunter? You guys have been quite the pairing. I mean, you've won here at Skagit in the 3.60 and 4.10. You won an ARC show. You guys have just been pretty much competitive at any racetrack you guys go to, it seems.
Yeah, I mean, just the mentality with us this year has just been, wherever we drop the door at any racetrack we go to, we're there to win. So, he's been a huge help. Me and him get along really well. I mean, obviously being similar age, and I grew up with him going to Deming and whatnot, and so I've known him for a long time. It's turned into a really good pairing, and just hoping to be able to, continue the success we've had this season.
What kind of went behind that pairing? Why did you guys team up for this year?
It's something that we've always kind of fantasized, I guess, in a way. he always has felt like he's been, like, he had the capability to improve my program. And I feel the stars just kind of aligned. He was going to come back home for some personal reasons anyhow. And so, yeah, I was kind of missing that. I was missing a piece ever since Scout left to just kind of have him a crew chief role. And so, yeah, it just, I guess all the stars just aligned for him to come join me. And yeah, it's been a good season so far.
I see you guys are going to be heading south in a couple of weeks. That's pretty exciting to go to and kind of test the waters with High Limit down in Chico.
Yeah. It's been since last year that I've been down there. So see if we can't improve on last year's results a little more. I always enjoy Chico. It's a good event, cool event. Have they decided if they're doing the
split field?
Doing the split field.
I saw they just announced that, I think, this morning or yesterday afternoon that they're going to go to split field. I think they're at 61 cars pre-entered. They said 64, so they're right in that neck of the woods. And they figured let's just split the field and call it a day rather than trying to qualify 60 plus cars a night. That gets to be a little bit tedious and hard on a racetrack.
Yeah, it makes the show pretty long too, but.
Does that ramp the pressure up for you as a driver, knowing that, hey, it's similar to like the Knoxville Nationals, you've got one night to make it work? And does that ramp things up? Do you think about that at all, or is it just another day at the racetrack?
Yeah, I mean, I guess, yeah. It just – if the night goes pretty good at the beginning, it takes the pressure off, per se. And if it – I guess if it, like, qualify really bad, then you start to feel the that split field deal.
Yeah.
But – no, and Chico's kind of a weird track. I feel it's always, for some reason, qualifying sometimes gets faster towards the end. It's pretty greasy off of four, I feel, at the beginning of qualifying most nights. But it seems to me like they've kind of struggled with the track this year, so it'll be interesting to see what they do with Gold Cup coming up.
You've done a good amount on the road this year of racing and have been very successful. What do you feel like has been that pivot point for you that's allowed you to have success on the road when you've traveled away from Skagit?
The seat time, I think, just being able to be in the race car, you know, I'd say most weekends I've raced two nights a week. Mm-hmm. So just being able to just have so much seat time, and just, it's common practice now for, you know, just the car in general, the general feeling of it. And we all know it's pretty much the same package everywhere we go. So the feel is always really similar, and we just kind of, you know, change minor things here and there, where we feel, you know, we could make up a little bit of speed. I feel we've been competitive pretty much everywhere we've gone. Last year, I think I raced 27 races all year. And, you know, we're just getting into the middle of August now, and I've raced 33 races. So it's been a huge change, just traveling a lot, all the driving. I mean, I've probably, you know, like 8,000 miles, 10,000 miles just on the West Coast this year. So, yeah, it's been a lot. It definitely keeps me busy, especially working full time. Mark's pretty good about giving me time off to go do those things. So.
What's it like to get a program ready to do that? I mean, I don't think race fans maybe quite realize what it takes to take a program from going from the mid 20s to for races to, I got to think you're going to probably end up around 40 or 50. I mean, that's a significant leap.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot of work, and there's no way I would have been able to do it without having Hunter and Connor and Lyndon. You know, those have been my three main guys all year. They come down during the week. Hunter comes down pretty much the most because that's all he does is work on my car. The other guys, they have jobs, so they come towards the end of the week, you know, help out right before race day. But yeah, no, it's a ton of work, and we got a new trailer and truck this year, so trying to get all that stuff organized. And you know, I got it pretty much most of the way that I wanted to during the off season, but there was some stuff that I didn't really know where I wanted it until, you know, we start racing out of it. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah, you figure out what you want. So, no, it's just like all the background work. We blew a wheel bearing on the trailer, you know, coming back from Skagit. So now I got to go through and do all that stuff. So it's just like all the maintenance with everything. It's a lot. And trying to, you know, it's not just a race car, you know. We have a toter home, so it's like a living space. You got to keep that clean. Got to keep the truck fueled, maintenance, all that. The trailer's got to be clean. Obviously, brakes and wheel bearings have to get checked. So it just adds up. I guess you could say there's never not anything to do, per se. So,
you mentioned it, you know, you work with Mark Houston at Shark Racing. What has that been like? What have you learned from building engines, and has that kind of helped you on your car?
Yeah, absolutely. He's been a big mentor to me, racing and just work and life. I mean, he's done it all. He's an amazing person to be around. As far as like the engine program and everything, I'd contribute a lot of my leaps and bounds as a person and a driver, just to him, and just being able to work here every single week. Having a general knowledge with the motors and being able to fuel them and, you know, that just on what to do. And if something does go wrong, being able to diagnose issues and help others, it's been a lot. It's been a huge help to me. So yeah, no, he's been a huge help with everything.
You're a guy that's kind of grown with 55 promotions here at Skagit Speedway. You know, a couple of years ago, we bring the 410s back. So rewind to like before Kev owned the racetrack here. What was the plan for you? Were you just kind of planning on maybe running a 360 here? Did you ever envision driving a 410 as much as you've got to? Was that maybe kind of a plan, knowing that, hey, we're going to have to travel, but we'll travel to run a 410? Or was it planning to run the 360 at Skagit?
Yeah, I mean, I guess towards, like, when we first started getting sprint cars, you know, I was still pretty fresh out of Deming. We kind of dabbled in a little bit. We weren't sure where the racing deal was going there for a little while. You know, we were going to ramp it up or if we were going to kind of cut back and focus more on, you know, other things. But obviously with like by the Beitler era, not having really any 410s up here, we were just probably, I don't think we ever really envisioned racing 410s. Just because, you know, like you said, we'd have to travel so far, you know, either down to California or out to the Midwest. It's just a long ways. But then with 55 promotions bringing back 410s locally, obviously, that was kind of the dream, especially just being a kid. You know, my dad and I always dreamed of when we were, you know, 10 years ago, being able to race for cars together. So, no, it's been cool that my dad has been able to, you know, provide that for me. And the racetrack obviously gives us a beautiful facility and pays really well and does all the right things to be able to keep the cars coming back. So no, it's definitely a dream come true to be able to race 410s, you know, weekly, competitively, and for good money.
Before you got to the 410s, you brought up Deming. You are a decorated Deming driver. You'll have to remind me. First guy to win junior sprints for Clay Cup, or was that you?
Restricted. Yeah, okay. Restricted.
Yeah. You've put some time in at Deming Speedway. What was that kind of like for you?
It definitely, you know, sculpted me into the driver end of the day. Paul and Bev, they did so much for my racing career, just, you know, always having positive words to say. And, you know, our family became pretty close with theirs, especially my dad and Paul. So, no, I got to race there since, I believe 2011 was my first year over there. And then I haven't raced there since last year, so... from 2011 till 2024, I raced there at least once or twice every single year. And I was full time there for, you know, 8 or 9 of those years. So yeah, spent a lot of time on that track, seeing it develop into the track it is today. It's weird going back there because I don't recognize, you know, 60% of the names there. So I kind of feel like, not even that old, but I kind of feel like the old guy when I go there. So no, it's, that was... And Deming's such a good track, I think, to learn at. Mm-hmm. It's so tight, and track shape, like the shape of the track, and just with how narrow it is, and most, like for the most of the track, it teaches you to race around others and keep your nose clean, but it also teaches you to race with respect, because if you, it's easy to hop a tire or junk somebody else, just, you know, if you're not paying attention. Mm-hmm. So you learn pretty quick what to do and what not to do.
Did you have a preference on whether the inside wall was there, or did you like it when the pits moved out and the inside wall was taken away and kind of what it is now?
Personally, I preferred the inside wall, okay, even with how many, you know, front axles and the front wheels I went through.
Oh, yeah.
I think it just kind of, you know, now you can just abuse, even kind of like how Skagit was before he built the berm up, you can just abuse it. You don't really have to, there's not like a fine line that you have to run. Mm-hmm. And I think I think that helped me teach, or like it taught me a lot when there was an inside wall, just to hit your marks perfect every single time, because it was so narrow on the bottom. I mean, obviously you enter a little too early and you're either in the wall, or if you enter a little too late, you're out of the groove.
Yeah.
It was very unforgiving. So I think it taught a lot of car control and whatnot. And it also made it hard to hit the bottom. So it made the top a little more viable sometimes. Yeah. But the track shape itself has also changed. The banking's changed a lot. So the track races completely differently, but at the same time, it's still the same old Deming I know.
That was something that I didn't realize, that Deming used to have a wall.
I missed
and they
that
parked
wall. That one was, I liked
cars
it.
In the infield until Eric told me that standing in turn three, what, probably June, maybe after between Dirt Cup, I'd say. Probably. A little after Dirt Cup, between Dirt Cup and Clay Cup, you mentioned to me that
you
used to park in the infield. Uh-huh. What?
How in the world? I think it was cool for the fans too, just to be able to see kind of what's going on. It kind of how Scaddy used to be.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But it was also, I have an old picture actually in the shop, and it's a huge panoramic photo.
Oh. And
it was 2013. It was the four wide salute for the Clay Cup that I won, and you see everybody. It's in the pits. You know, all the Dunkirkins, all the old names.
I remember the Dunkirkins.
Yeah. So they used to bring a bunch of cars up. It was cool. The pickup's always been a cool event.
That's wild to me that they would stuff that many cars in that small of an infield. Because if for race fans listening to the podcast, if you've never been to Deming, Google Earth it. It's what, maybe a fifth mile at most?
I think they advertise a sixth.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. I was going to say, fifth seems big, but
it's
not large.
No. And going four wide, I mean, looking at it without the inside wall looks tight. I can't imagine going four wide with that inside wall because that just gets tight.
Yeah, you know, it's a tight track for sure.
You mentioned racing there with the wall. How much this year we added the berm at Skagit, but a couple weeks into the year, how much differently does Skagit race now that it has a large berm?
I'd say it's large. I think 1 and 2's kind of been chopped down a little bit now from us just racing.
Okay.
At least it seems like it on entry one, but 3 and 4, I feel, is very unforgiving. You get your left front up on it, and it's kind of weird because we have to, like, we're so angled through the corner that it's not like Knoxville where you, like, put your left front up on the berm and it kind of just plants the car and drives all the way around. It's like, I feel like when I get my left front up on the berm, it, like, almost anchors the left front and just wants to spin me out or shoot me up over the berm out into the middle of the track. So far, I found it pretty tricky to try and run, especially how fumbly it is some weeks. But it's noticeable. I think it's made a pretty big difference in how the track races, and just trying to run the bottom, it's way trickier. So
trickier, you think in a good way? That just
from week. Yeah, it kind of just depends on how the track's been prepped. I mean, there's been some weeks where it's so hard to run, or it's been worn off so bad that track just becomes top dominant. Mm-hmm. And there's other weeks where I feel like it's kind of an overlooked line, and you find a lot of people like Solwald and Starks, and some people find that line down there. And I found the diamonding 3 and 4 has been pretty good so far.
I noticed you doing that last Saturday.
Few weeks, yeah.
Yeah.
Just Solwald's pretty famous, I think, for running that line. Just trying to imitate that, I guess.
I say it's
something a little different.
It's kind of funny you bring up Jason, because you and him had a really good battle the last time 360s were here. You were kind of diamonding 3 and 4, and he was doing kind of what Jason does and just creeping around the bottom. And you guys raced each other hard for at least half the race.
Yeah, especially last year. I mean, I found myself just always racing hard with him. Mm-hmm. All year, it seemed every single week we were just near each other, and I've had zero issues with him last year, and zero issues with him this year. Just nothing but respect, kind of the legends of. I'd say the sport, honestly.
No, I don't disagree there. I mean, for me as a guy coming from the Midwest, pretty much my entire life. If you ask Skagit Speedway I would say over 90% of the people back home at Knoxville Raceway to name one driver at Skagit Speedway that over the course of time that they think of, I would say most people are going to say Jason Solwald back home. And it probably helps that Jason came to the Midwest and ran a little bit, but he's kind of the guy that I always thought of Jason Solwald and Skagit Speedway.
Yeah, he's really super competitive in the Outlaws. You know, it seemed like our local guys weren't really up to snuff with the traveling series, you know, in the late 2000s, early 2010s. He always seemed to be fast, the next thing.
What's that process been like? I feel like our locals, I mean, you look, I try to keep very in tune with everything that happens in sprint car racing, traveling for 10 years doing it, but I would put our locals up against about any track in the country from a competitive standpoint of our top five or six teams can come to play with about anybody. What's that been like to get to this level? I mean, you're one of those guys in there where I feel like you could crack off a high limit win and it wouldn't be like, oh my God, that's a massive upset. It'd be like, yeah, Jesse's had speed all year long. I mean, you guys, the level of our racing for our top five, six, seven, eight guys here is pretty high right now.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of the country's coming to realize that.
Agreed.
Obviously, I mean, there's like those couple years where Trey kind of just dominated everything. And he still is, you know, top dog. And when it comes to our local field, but I feel like he set a bar there for a little while. And it was like, you either rise to that and challenge that, or you're just going to, you know, be a back marker for the rest of your racing career. So I feel like he could contribute a lot of it to Trey just setting such a high bar. And you know, he's such an accomplished driver for having as a local competitor every week, winning back east, having a lot of success on the road. So
yeah,
I'd contribute a lot of it just to that bar that he set, and it just losing sucks. So kind of the only way to go is up.
This week it's a 410 and 360 double show. You have both cars. What's a night look like for you when you're having to switch between the 410 into the 360 and vice versa? How busy are you guys in the pit area?
Pretty, but I'd say nonstop.
Okay.
Especially the thing you pray for the most is just not having issues between either cars. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's almost to the point where it's like, hey, you have an issue in one car, you just park that car. Especially having, like, you know, they do pretty good with the one supporting class and trying to break it up. But, and it's just managing tires as well. Just trying to make sure that, you know what's on this car, you know what's on that car, and you have options for both, or trying to swap over. The shocks is a big deal, too. Luckily, we've been pretty well equipped this year, and I haven't really gone through a whole lot of equipment, knock on wood. So just being able to, you know, have all that stuff and have all the ducks in a row. A lot of the work is done at the shop.
Yeah.
Rolling out all the tires, making sure stuff's done for both cars, and, you know, just giving each car best chance possible. It's just, I know it's a lot, especially for Hunter, trying to split his minds between both cars. You know, we put, you know, one guy on one car and another guy on another car, just to make sure the bolts are checked, everything's tight, it's all ready to go before it hits the truck. So, yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot, for sure.
Can you take your feel in the 410 and go, hey, this is what I'm feeling, and get the identical feel in your 360? Or are you kind of having to set them up two different ways?
I'd say yeah, for the most part. Just with how the track is racing, I feel it's probably just being able to go like, okay, this is what I did in the 360. Like, because I normally 360s are first in heat races. So
yeah.
Like, say, hey, I noticed this in heat races, like track's kind of wearing like this. You know, we just kind of go off of how. You can use the 360 car as like a baseline and just be like, hey, this is how it felt. I feel like we need to do this in the 410.
Okay.
And you can just that's predominantly how we use it. We just use the 360 cars, you know, obviously when we're trying to win in it, but it's also just using it as standard.
Yeah.
Space a lot of our stuff off 360 car adjustment wise.
Yeah.
I want to make this clear. This is by no way me saying this is going to happen. This hasn't been discussed at all. This is just me being me.
Oh boy.
Completely asking. Say, you know, on down the road, we decide that we're going to run 410s and 360s together weekly. Like I said, this hasn't even been discussed. So don't even think insinuating something. This is more to the listeners than you. But would that be something that's even feasible for you? Is that be something you guys would toss around? Or is it just, as you said, just so much that you couldn't do it weekly, run both of them together, your 360 and 410?
I don't know. I mean, I hate to sit here and be like, oh, like I wouldn't do it. But obviously they did it back, like when Mark was racing,
yeah.
they used to do that every week.
Knoxville does it weekly.
Two classes. Yeah, exactly. So I feel as financially, as long as it makes sense and I feel like I can be competitive in both classes and at least be able to return some money back to the program racing both cars,
yep,
then yes, I would. The work, it's a lot of work to try and prepare and manage two cars, you know, especially motor wise, you have, yeah, something to go wrong with one car and then all of a sudden you feel like you're behind. So I would say if that is something that they decided to do, at least for the first part of the year, is definitely something that we would try to,
okay,
to do on a weekly basis and then keep it going as long as it made sense feasibly. So
yeah, we haven't even talked about, yeah, that. I just thought I'd ask you, knowing that that's what we were talking about. Yeah. Just, hey, what is it even, I mean, possible for, you know, the local teams to pull off up here? Obviously, a lot of the Knoxville teams, they've been running 360s and 410s together since 1983, I think it is. So, I mean, they've, yeah, had a lot of years to build that and teams to kind of work around doing that.
It's like, and luckily, I live close enough,
yeah,
to, mm-hmm, the track, mm-hmm, to where it's like, okay, I can, it makes sense to just, we have a flatbed at home, just put the car on a flatbed, take it up there.
Yep.
Yeah.
So it doesn't add a whole lot to the logistics wise of just getting the car to the track, I guess. But yeah, no, for sure. It is something that we've tried.
Knoxville just wrapped up. We've talked about traveling. Is there a bucket list race for you that you would want to travel? Would it be Knoxville? Would it be Eldora, or what would it be?
Yeah, I feel those, like both those tracks, obviously, they're kind of the crown jewels of sprint car racing. So I definitely on my bucket list, but I feel like there's other tracks, you know, that,
yes, any other non-crown jewel.
I love short track racing.
Okay.
There's tracks that I'd like to just at least race there at least once, you know, just see if I like it. Places like I-55, Jacksonville, those places. Even in California, I've yet to race Placerville, which believe I was supposed to be racing there at some point this year. I was going to race the 360 show earlier this year with the SSCT Speed Week, but we ran that show down at Ocean instead with the Dark Series. So just places like that. I feel like I do pretty good at short track racing. So I'd like to try my hand at half mile racing though as well. So for sure.
What would it take for, say, you guys, if you decided, hey, we're going to go run the Knoxville Nationals in 2026, would that be something where you would want to go out there and run a weekly show or two to kind of get up to speed? Or is that something where you could just roll in and just play your cards and see what gets dealt your way on a qualifying night?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I've kind of thought about it, you know. Sometimes, I mean, I guess sometimes if, like, I went there and just, uh-huh, rolled the car right out of the box, right, from the 360 Nationals, first, yep, time ever there. You know, sometimes I feel like kind of having the underdog mindset, just not overthinking it
and like
setting the expectations low. Sometimes it works out and it's like, oh yeah, go out, qualify top 10, like, can't ask for nothing more,
yeah,
for the first time. But from a just a common sense side of things, I feel like probably getting a weekly show in before that probably make the most sense.
Common sense, especially, isn't fun though.
Yeah. I mean, biggest track I've ever raced at would probably, I got to race Yakima in a limited, in a sporty,
okay,
per se, really,
once. Yeah, I don't really remember it much, but I know I raced it.
I understand that was a big track. I've, yeah, never been there, obviously, but
I hadn't either.
It sounds like a half, yeah, mile.
If it wasn't a half mile, it was pretty darn close to, okay, a half mile. So, but then obviously just racing Elma, you know, the,
yeah,
few shows a year that we race there. I'd say that's probably just consistently the biggest track I race at.
Shoot, you look on the West Coast, we pretty much have 1.5 mile.
Yeah.
It's Calistoga.
Yeah, and that's
operating.
Pretty fresh as of, yeah, yeah, pretty fresh.
Yeah,
Stockton used to be a big track, weeks, and they turned that to a quarter mile.
Yep. Yeah, it's,
yeah, we don't have a whole lot of big stuff over here on the, no, West Coast.
Which is crazy, yeah, to me. I don't think people quite realize the amount of talent that, well, I mean, it goes back to what we were talking about earlier, the amount of talent on the West Coast. I mean, I think that they maybe realize it down in California, but we've got a lot of talent up here at Skagit. Mm-hmm. I think that a lot of people are sleeping on.
Yeah, we're just kind of on our own little island.
We are.
We don't really get to showcase it until a series comes around.
Yeah. There we go. We got get to showcase it in a couple of weeks, yeah, right?
Yeah, it's creeping up quick.
It is.
Very quick. Yeah, I got all sorts of stuff I got to do. Get
ready. What are your expectations for that weekend when High Limit rolls in? Where do you expect you and your team to be for those three nights?
Hey, we're setting the expectations high, I feel. It's just, especially with how Dirt Cup went, and then how 360 show went, or this Summer Nationals. I mean, it's just, I feel like we're hungry for like big paying events. It's just, I feel like we've done a really good job weekly on the weekly side of things. It just seems like, you know, big money rolls in, and either, you know, I mess up myself or something mechanical happens. It's just, yeah, we have huge expectations, I feel, trying to, you know, really stamp our name in history when they come down in a couple of weeks.
I think that's something that you guys could easily do with the speed you guys have had this year.
100%.
So I like where your expectations are.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, so far this has kind of just been a little bit of a breakout year for me. So just trying to continue that and maybe add a little bit of a cherry on top with it. So, yeah, it'd definitely be a good topper to be here.
What would you do with $126,000? The cliche question.
I feel like probably what any racer would say. More race car stuff. Bills, you know. 126,000 goes a long way.
Yes, oh, yeah. It does.
It goes a long way. It goes a long way, but it doesn't. You know?
That's true.
Yeah,
you can spend it quick.
It's crazy to think about, but it's very easy. I can tell you a million different ways you can spend 126,000 on racing.
Absolutely.
And it could be on one or two things, depending on what you buy.
126 grand. Yeah, it could be two things and not even get the two.
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous. It's an addiction. Whatever.
Well, Jesse, thanks for joining us on your lunch break over at Shark Racing. We appreciate it. Thanks for chatting with us, and we look forward to seeing you this weekend.
Yeah, we'll see you Saturday.
Yeah, of course. Looking forward to it.
All right, Jesse.
Weather permitting.
Yeah, right? Knock on wood. We're got if only this sunny weather would stay around till the weekend.
If it rains, we just blame Eric.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, it's all his fault.
I think if it rains, we blame Blake. He just came back from Knoxville where it clearly was raining at one point.
It did not rain in Knoxville. Hardly rained at all.
Mm-hmm.
They called for it, but it didn't hit. Literally, they called for hurricanes on Saturday night, and it never rained a drop of rain.
I'll just blame it on Hunter.
Yeah, there we go. That's fair. That's fair. He was there.
There you go.
When anything doesn't go right, it's his fault.
There we go.
Speaking of watching Hunter in the pit area, he's very animated guy.
Animated? Yeah.
Yeah. I've lost count of the amount of people that have come up to me after a race. Like, did you see this? Did you see that? I'm just like, I don't even want to know at this point.
No, I was racing.
Yeah. You guys want some free entertainment, just stick a camera on him all night.
Exactly.
Oh, good, easily. Actually, one more question. Just speaking of Hunter, usually see him a lot of the times during either a red flag or a yellow flag go out and he's making signals to you. What is he telling you? And can you see him? Or?
Stuff. Yeah, I mean, I feel anytime a caution comes out, I'm looking for him. He gives me a little bit of information just with what he can with his hands. Some of it's information with the track, some of its suggestions on what to do with the car. It just depends. And, you know, we're still kind of learning each other's lingo. There's sometimes there's a little bit of a miscommunication. I interpret it wrong. So, just everything he says, just kind of take it with a hint of salt. I feel like pretty much every race team has somebody who does that for him. So, he's that guy.
All right. Well, Jesse, we'll let you go after that. Thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. You get them this day.
Thanks, Jesse. Welcome back, everybody. A great chat there with Jesse Schlotfeldt, a guy that he'll be busy this weekend, as we mentioned, in the 360 and the 410 this weekend, a little bit of double duty. The last time of the season, the 360s and 410s run on the same night. Season championship, the 360s will run on Friday, the 410s on Saturday. But the 410s, it's been a while since they've been on track here at Skagit Speedway, and you look at the points. Trey Starks, 37 points ahead of Jason Sowald. So that lead's dissipated a little bit. Still comfortable, but not over. Far from over. Jesse Schlotfeldt, the good points battle is really third, fourth, and fifth. Jesse Schlotfeldt, 137 back. Justin Youngquist, 10 back of him, 147 back. And then Robbie Price, fifth, 152 back. So 15 points separating third, fourth, and fifth.
I don't know where Robbie Price could be if he
had good luck.
Had a couple things go his way.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he would be leading points, but
no, I think
he could at least be up to
be challenging Solwell for second, probably. Yeah. He's been just had not great luck. And then you look Levi Klatt, sixth, and Eric Fisher, seventh. 3 points separate them. That's time trials right there. Mm-hmm. So Levi Klatt and Eric Fisher, both pretty close. Chase Getz, 8th in points. Cam Smith, 9th. And Greg Otis rounds out the top 10 in points.
Most recent 360 winner, Colton Heath, back in 11th.
Yeah.
And I guess 410 winner, too.
Yeah. Yep. He went back-to-back weeks as 360 and 410 winner. So that's how the 410 points are shaken up. 360 points, Trey has a much more commanding lead there at 77. And really the points battle is a lot closer there for second. Mm-hmm. Jason Solwald, second, 77 back. Colton Heath is third, 90 back.
It drops off quickly.
It does. And then Levi Hillier, fourth, 129 back. Jesse is fifth, 166 back. They're really pretty evenly spaced as I go through through this. Outside of 8th to 10th is only separated by 16 points, but Tanner Holmes 6th, Levi Kuntz 7th, Robbie Price 8th, Cam Smith 9th, and Kai Dixon 10th. Did I see Levi Kuntz picked up a win?
He did.
He won at Grays Harbor?
Yep.
Saturday night. I thought I saw that.
So shout out to him.
Congratulations, Levi, on the 360 win down at Grays Harbor.
Yeah, he's been running well.
He has.
Well, minus this last Saturday or last time we ran 360s with him and Kai Dixon. That's just unfortunate circumstance.
That was.
Yeah.
From
for both of them.
Carnation, Washington.
Yep. I remember I watching Levi Kuntz all the way at Deming. Oh, and going back to the Jesse thing, I can remember watching Jesse at Deming, but also I was there with my dad.
Yeah, you were a kid.
And, yeah.
10 years old.
Probably, because it would have been, what, third? No, I don't know. I'll have to go double check. So Deming did a silent auction 1 year.
Okay.
And I'm pretty sure I have a signed picture of Jesse from when he from a junior sprint. Or
you better find that.
I'll have to go look. So I have a booklet, and then I remember this vividly. And then him bringing up the Dunkirk and springs another point. I was there with it was myself, my dad, a kid named Trevor, and a kid named Jake. And Jesse had flipped that night, and we all got pieces of his top wing. They got the two sideboards. I got the main dish. And I also think I remember thinking, wow, Jesse has really nice handwriting for being, like, he signed it, and it was actually really nice in cursive. So,
oh,
Jesse,
great.
If you're listening, there's
hopefully have good handwriting still.
Yeah, right. And then he brought up Dunkirk's. I have a Dunkirk and wing hanging on my wall back home. Anyways, that's completely off topic.
Yeah, well, that's, hey, it's
just
good stuff.
It made me think of it.
Well, there's a lot of Deming, obviously. We really support Deming Speedway and work well with them. And if you get a chance, go listen to the Lemley's podcast, one of our, was it number three, four? Early.
It would have been early. Yeah,
so give that a listen here. Learn about Deming and from Paul and Bill. The Hornet points, Howard Voss has a commanding lead. Let's just leave it at that. He's 115 up on Bryce Kolar, but arguably the best points battle right now at Skagit is the battle from sixth to third in points, 9 points. Braxton Hausman third. Ravens 4th, Scott's 5th, and Tazio 6th. Just 9 points separate them. And then another tight one, 5 points separating 9th to 7th, Bubba Peters, Colin Sims, and Dave Hill. David Dykstra rounds out the top 10 in the truck.
Yeah, and we had our Hornets. The tough trucks were here.
Yeah.
And he had some of the Hornet drivers.
Yep.
Brent Chetler, his wife.
She won the long jump competition.
She was ecstatic to win the long jump competition.
$300.
Yep, $300.
And a trophy.
And so did Subaru Scott. Yeah. Yeah, bringing her the trophy was fun.
Yeah, that's what you said. Then she found out she got $300 on top of that trophy, which was neat.
Yeah. So it's good to have the Hornets supporting us, and we like to support them. And
we
love
the Hornets.
They race just as hard as the 410s and the 360s, which I'm excited to see 410s back.
Yeah, we love the Hornets. But, there is nothing in racing that beats a 410 sprint car. I'll be plain and simple. Nothing beats a 410 sprint car.
Early prediction. So this is the last time we'll see the 410s here at Skagit before the Skagit National, August 28th, 29th, and 30th. You can get tickets online, skagitspeedway.com. Blake, if you had to make a prediction now, who do you think you'll see in Victory Lane Saturday night at Skagit Nationals?
I mean, it's hard to pick against Rico going back
Trey?
To back. I think we could. I think Rico's probably the odds-on favorite right now. He has been in a rocket ship everywhere. And
he won it last year.
You look at what he's got, Ricky Warner in his corner, arguably the top three crew chief of all time. I think that's not arguably a top three crew chief of all time. But Rico's excited to get back here. I talked to him extensively about it at Knoxville last week about getting back to Skagit and racing for big money. He loves that, and he gets around here well. And
does
I think
he feel like he's kind not home, but kind of coming home because it's on the West Coast?
I guess I've never asked him that. I think probably more closer so home to next home. Week when, yeah, he goes to, when he goes to Chico, because that's probably, I would say, one of his home tracks,
yeah,
there, Placerville area. I think he raced probably more extensively at Chico. But, I think that's probably, if I were placing odds on the event, it'll be interesting. So what they will be, because we will see them, because High Limit does have gambling.
Oh, that's true.
I think Rico probably the favorite. We'll see. I think those gambling odds makers will massively overlook Trey Starks.
Where can I find the gambling odds?
I don't know if they come out. They usually announce them like a day or two before the event on High Limit social media.
Okay.
But I will say I'm willing to bet that Trey Starks will not be listed, which is just a crime.
I think he'll be listed. You have to list him. He's won Dirt Cup. He's won 3-6
Nat. I don't think the odds makers will list him because I think they'll overlook him. I really do, because he's not a High Limit regular.
Well, there's your underdog pick.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're
they don't
betting,
list everybody. They only list like 8.
But you got to probably think 1 or 2 locals would make the.
I would hope, but I just watching how they set these odds at times. There are definitely some. We can't do it here because we can't do it in Washington. But there is definitely. I look at it sometimes like, oh my God, there is a lot of money to be made on some of these odds here, but. We'll see. They don't build Vegas based on us winning.
No.
So, no, I think it'll be interesting. And obviously, the 410s this weekend running, mm-hmm. it'll be their kind of last tune-up before
which
we roll into.
Yeah, it's wild to think.
Yeah. We've got 6-7 weeks left in our season, which is crazy.
10
like
races.
We just started, yeah.
Counting the side of 55, 10 races and.
I think seven weeks left.
Yeah, because
we're done the last week of September. So, college football is almost here.
I was listening to KASM and thinking, because they said in the first game, it's like, oh, Blake and I will have to watch that in the office on Saturday. Yeah, but
hopefully K-State wins.
Yeah. No, I lost my. Oh, so 3-6 this week, 3-6 next week, and then they're done till season championship.
Wow. Yeah,
yeah,
that would
till
be.
Till that Friday of.
Yeah.
Because we run.
Because then we've got, obviously, High Limit and Skagit Nationals to end the month, and we're off on the 6th and the 13th. We're back, and then it's season championship week. Yeah. And then the 360s run during Survive the 55, but it's non-points.
Yeah.
It's just a bonus race for them. Mm-hmm. We pay them a little bit more. It's a good-paying 360 race. It's an opportunity for them to maybe earn a little bit of money to cap off the season.
Yeah. No, Lisa mentioned that. It's like, oh, geez, the 360s
are look at
are
our
almost.
Seasons. And we take a week off this year post Skagit Nationals.
We did last year too, I think.
No, we got. No? We had a. Yeah, we raced.
I could have sworn we took. Okay.
We raced. Hmm. Did not have a very good crowd, but we raced. Hmm. So I think this year, kind of, we tried it, didn't work, and we'll, table it for now, but you never know. I wouldn't say we'll take this week off every year, that's for sure. It's kind of a year by year basis, but. Yeah, the Skagit Nationals is going to be big. Get your tickets now, skagitspeedway.com. 3-day package will get you the reserve seat. So on Saturday's massive crowd, you don't have to roll in at 3 o'clock to get in line. We'll have meet and greets with the drivers. Obviously, we'll have a lot of merchandise trailers here. So you can get the High Limit driver merchandise, which will be fun. I'm excited to have them here. Obviously, a lot of those guys I raced with going up and down the road for the All-Stars for a decade. So it's kind of... maybe a little bit of home for me to see a lot of those faces that are so familiar.
Okay.
And we'll get a High Limit driver on that week.
Yeah,
we'll do our best to get a High Limit driver on. I think we can pull one. I think we can get a guy that's going to be competitive.
I think so too. I think we'll have a guy. Yeah.
We'll have a big guest that week though. We'll tell you that much. Mm-hmm. Or if we don't get him that week, we'll have him on at some point in the next week or two, just to preview Skagit Nationals. Cause it's almost Skagit Nationals time.
Somehow. Well, anyways, we're racing this weekend, 410s, 360s, Hornets. Get your tickets online, skagitspeedway.com.
You know who will be racing this weekend? Back in a sprint car, 410 sprint car winner, Justin Youngquist, will be here signing autographs. So get your tickets now, ladies and gentlemen.
And if you haven't listened, go back and listen to last week's episode with Justin. Oh, where's the – oh, he's signing the board?
He just walked in.
Justin – oh, Justin Mid Youngquist.
Justin Mid Youngquist.
Okay, this is a better autograph than how you sign most of your hero cards.
Yeah.
I was get I so Is there the wireless mic in there?
Yeah.
I want to plug this in for a second. We'll
close this out here.
Let's close this out with Justin. It should be a wired mic that's plugged in, like on sitting right there.
Oh, yep. Hold on just a second.
We'll get Justin on, who was just on last week. So if you haven't listened to that, Justin and I had almost a two-hour conversation. Yeah. Justin must have known we were recording. This wasn't planned. All right, here you go.
Yeah, this was not planned, as you could see us closing mic check.
1, 2, 3, 4. There we go. All right, here you go, Justin.
There we go. There's JY. Hello, JY.
Hello, Blake.
JY
I haven't done this with Blake.
JY made us Trunk Bar stickers that were extremely popular.
Oh, did he?
Well, Blake used, like, cool vinyl.
Yeah, I used.
It was like shiny. Well, sorry, Blake.
JY.
Well, so you'll know this, Eric. It's the vinyl that we use on the champagne bottles.
Oh, the like shiny vinyl?
Yeah, yeah. Like holographic.
But we did,
I like
that
vinyl.
How many different styles? No, like maybe like eight different styles?
Eight, yeah.
The Iowa ones? Did the Iowa colors go over well?
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
Do you have a picture of these?
I don't know. I'll have to look.
He had banners. He had everything. There was like so much stuff back there.
We had a Trunk Bar banner in the barn. We went all out. But no, the most popular one was the classic, the original.
The original.
Blue and yellow.
Well, how did the Miami Vice go over?
I think they all were popular, to be honest. The black sticker was the sticker of bad omens, I feel like, because
Brian
flipped and Cy Lynch put one on his car and flipped.
Okay, so you're the reason for it.
Yeah, on the B main there. That was oof.
So
yeah,
we'll have to go. They'll have to probably go back to the different colored stickers.
I was here to see the new hoodies.
Oh, is that why you're
those
here?
New hoodies? Did you see those? Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Well, the new hoodies or the shirt that's just
design that was there at the beginning of the year, but now it's on hoodies.
Yeah.
Did you see that tan one?
Yeah.
The black? Oh.
I picked up one during Monster Trucks on Sunday.
If you're coming this weekend, swing by the merchandise booth and get you some.
Well, because here's
new
the
hoodies
thing.
Here this week.
At the beginning of the year, you had the t-shirts, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now it's like, hey, it's starting to get colder at night. Again, sad.
Sweatshirt.
Summer lasted.
Packed
we had our two-week summer.
Yeah, we had the brief two-week summer.
And now it's like, all right, I need a hoodie. There's the blue one. I got the blue one. Or it's kind of a gray blue.
Yeah,
it's a
lighter. I like the blue.
Yeah.
I didn't get it, but it's.
But Nicole Selzy saw it. And she said, you need to get me one of those hoodies. So I was going to ship one, and now I don't know what size she needs. So
well, you better.
There's too many colors to choose, so she probably wants one of each. What are you going to do?
Tell her you'll only do it, you'll deliver it when Dominic rolls in for Skagit Nationals.
That's probably what it's going to come out to.
There you go.
She was putting their daughters down for a nap, and
we can
she's
ensure
not
Dominic will be. I'm sure he will be here. I fully expect
he will
be here. But
he will. He'll be here.
You can just make that.
For Insider Justin Youngquist.
Yeah. Justin Unkus, will you be racing Skagit Nationals?
Of course.
There
I didn't get to do it last year.
Yeah, you did.
I've never raced
with
High Limit. Yeah, I broke my neck off. Yeah. We talked about that last week. And I didn't get to do it. I'm kind of like, it'll be very interesting because watching it, I was like, man, to me, from racing with the Outlaws prior to watching High Limit, and I think it has to do with their format or something, very intense, like, heat races and everything. The racing seemed just a step above even what the Outlaws had here.
I'd agree. Yeah. I feel like, I guess I didn't see the Outlaws here. I'd watch them on Dirt Vision, obviously, because we would usually be done early enough with wherever the All-Stars were racing that weekend, being 3 hours ahead of you guys that could watch it.
This
but,
is not Blake's favorite time zone. Has he talked about that at all?
Oh, my God.
He does not
know,
love
but
this time zone.
I love the area. This time zone is the worst time zone in the United States.
Everyone I hear complains about this time
zone. Not Caleb Hart.
I think
Caleb Hart thinks it's the greatest time zone
ever. Caleb Hart has lived here his whole life.
I also don't hate this time zone.
I hate this time zone.
But everyone,
I've lived in three of them, and this is my least favorite.
Well,
you're not the first person I've heard that.
Blake's still at work. Like when it's prime time on the East Coast,
I'm still
or whatever,
at work.
You're still at work. It's 4 o'clock or whatever.
How am I going to watch Iowa basketball and Iowa football when
you will anyways. You've got an iPad down there.
I do watch Iowa football.
He needs the triple screen. I know. He's going to be like, can I have that old office over there? I need like triple screen.
John can tell
Blake,
when I'm
Blake
watching Iowa football
hard,
when he rolls in. If I have the Iowa football game, I'm pretty
Yeah,
dialed
he's got
in.
The phone going with the Twitter. He's got the
he's
computer
in.
For the work stuff. And
cussing
then
under
the
my
iPad
breath.
With the, quote unquote, air quotes, work stuff. And then the iPad for the streaming.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? Who'd you have on?
Jesse.
Jesse Schlottfeldt today.
Schlotty.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Double duty
for
him this week.
Good.
It was good.
Yeah.
Caught him during his lunch break.
He's crazy.
the guy races.
Yep.
Yeah. He's probably going to, I think, Washington drivers, I think he'll probably run more races than any Washington driver. Mm-hmm. I think he's already at 33.
Well, he's traveled and stuff too.
Yeah.
You know,
he's going down to California.
You can tell,
weeks.
Like, those guys that get the laps at the beginning of the year, they show up and they're just ready to, they're back
gear.
Into the groove with the car, like, you know. And then he goes down and runs the speed week and everything else, right? Yep. It's just any laps, whether it's 360, 410, whatever. Yeah, he's fast guy. He was over at the shop the other week, whenever that was. Well, he had to look at the Mike Brown engine, you know. He's been known to know what some motors are. What?
Was the Mike Brown engine all good?
According to Jesse, yes. But
oh, that's
then
good.
Mike, crashed, so.
Yeah. That was...
No, you're fine. I don't know what Blake was looking at.
No, I was just seeing...
Blake was looking to see when the Iowa game started.
No, I know when that, starts. Don't you have to worry about that. We got two more weeks.
No,
it's high limit Saturday.
Mike,
but Mike, will Mike be here this
motor
weekend?
Was fine. I hope not.
Oh.
I sincerely hope not. He's crazy enough. He will. He don't care.
I know.
You hope not, because he should probably take the week off.
So the night after his wreck,
yeah.
I don't know if we touched on this. So he's sitting there at the house, and because he doesn't have to fly out till early in the morning. And, a couple cocktails and whatever after. A few. Anyway. He's sitting there and he's like, man, I really probably should go back to the ER and have him look at my... Because they did head scans and upper neck and whatever and everything was fine. And he's like, I really should have him look at my shoulder.
Because
there was something... He's holding his phone and he's like, oh, I can't lift my arm. I'm like, something is wrong, Mike. Something is wrong. And his wife, Leah, has background in medical and everything else. And so she's... I would have loved to have seen her face when he got home.
Yeah.
She'd be so... I don't want
to
use the word disappointed, but I will.
At some point.
Oh, we'll have Mike on.
That was the I'm not mad, I'm disappointed look, I'm sure. Yeah, you have to have Mike on.
He's better in person, right?
100%.
Yeah.
Don't Mike is so busy when he's in Alaska or not here.
He's working around the clock.
Yeah, half the time he's flying a helicopter, so he'd probably be in his helmet. Headset. There's Bluetooth in those, by the way. I didn't know this.
Well,
yeah,
you went to Alaska.
Flew around. It was funny seeing
Mike. When did you go to Alaska?
The week before I broke my neck off last year.
Why did I not remember that you
went
to
Alaska?
Yeah,
we had the week. Well, it was the week of Clay Cup.
Oh, that's why. I was at King's Royal. I was at King's Royal, so that's why. I didn't realize it.
Yeah.
Mr. Big Shot over here.
Eldora. You know what I'm saying. He was on FS1.
I know.
Yeah. Wait, Blake, sign the wall.
Remember what we were talking about last week, saying, I feel... I'm texting Blake Anderson and say, I texted Blake Anderson.
Feel pretty cool texting Blake Anderson over here.
Yeah.
You know, and then off air, I got a story from Eric. I was like, he's cooler than me.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
No.
No, the,
well,
we Mike Brown
I'm sure, he'll have texted that person before.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. Yeah.
I'll tell you. I'll tell you later.
Off air. All so right. Private. It's so crazy.
Well,
it's very
not, but nothing happened with it that it was worth sharing.
It wasn't, Mike on the podcast would be really good, but he needs to be here.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Because
you got to be able
to
tell. You got to be able, and you got to be able to read him and know when. Because over the phone,
God.
I think it'd be hard to read if Mike's joking, but in person.
Good luck even reading in person.
It's not easier, but it's certainly not easy, it's easier.
I don't know, Eric, is it? I don't know, with the whole smug look on his face.
We really need to get K-Man on. That's the really who we
Well,
need to have
Caden
on.
Should come with him.
Yeah,
Caden
can interview him.
He races up in Alaska.
Yeah, he races up in
Alaska.
Know?
Oh, Caden could interview you.
Yeah, there we go.
We have 8-minute-long videos on our phones.
They're
of K-Man.
Eight minutes,
literally after the races, going up to Mike, Levi, Chad, all of us, going, "Oh, so how was the car out there tonight?" Mike back and forth.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
Soph would be fun too because she's so analytical.
Oh, she's way more.
She is.
K Man's there for a good time, right?
Soph
and she's
is very analytical.
This is
and
what we're doing.
She's working.
Yeah. Not that Caden, I'm sure Caden, I'm sure is acing tests, but Soph is. You know she's
K Man when he's there. Well, of course, he's away from home too. He's there for a good time, dude. He's not.
Soph's very. Yeah. She can tell she's very intelligent.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Very.
Very.
When it's the person that's quiet over here.
Yep.
That is.
But
going,
she's quiet until you get to know her. Then when you get to know her, she'll chat my ear off.
For sure.
K-Man, he'll go tell Galen
this.
What's
up, bro?
Go tell Galen the car's cheating.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. He did
heard
that.
About, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, Trey Starks wins every race. What
he's
the heck?
Cheating.
He's got to be cheating. That motor's a cheater. So he went with Blake, walks right over to Galen, and he's like, you better go check that 55 car.
He tells that to Colin. He'll tell that straight up to Colin and Trey when they're parked next to him.
Yeah.
Trey, you're cheating.
We got your cheater motor in there, so it doesn't really count.
In there?
Your win's not real.
TNC Concept stands for Trey Cheats.
Yeah. That's funny.
Yeah, he's, that's Trey funny. Just laughs at him. It's funny. It's good. King he's a little fireball.
It is good. It's they're How a old great is family.
Man? Seven? Okay. He's seven.
Is he?
Seven or eight.
Sure.
Yeah.
We'll go with that. I'm not sure.
I idolize
Sophie's
Levi
like 10
Hillier.
Or 11.
I idolize his Levi Hillier.
Oh my gosh. He will Levi, go to the airport with his Rudine hat.
Levi walks on water.
When Wade and I walked through the pit area, I'll have to go pull up the video, and we didn't use in the pit walk, but we have it. We talked to Sophie and we talked to K-Man and asked Sophie, who's your favorite driver? And she said, Mike. And then we asked K-Man, who's your favorite driver? And he goes, Levi.
Oh yeah.
Not your dad.
Like,
no, Levi.
No hesitation.
Levi.
Yeah. Zero.
Mike He's over knows there, it. Like with Levi in the shop, like helping, like, what can I do to help? You know, like, Levi's like, what's up, crew chief? Like, what are we doing wrong? What do we need to do better? Like, it's so.
Oh, he's good with funny. Him.
He loves everything about that 26 car. So then Mike's like, oh, well, I guess you're just going to go with the 26 team. So whatever. Like,
Levi's
better
lucky.
Go figure it out.
Levi's lucky he made it back. I'm going to be honest. I about left him in Minneapolis.
Oh, really?
Uh-oh.
He was talking smack with Wade Onger on the Knoxville pre-race show.
Levi was?
Yeah.
Is he on the Knoxville pre-race show?
Yeah, he was on with Wade O. Yeah, okay. And I got word back. He doesn't know, but I said he's going to find out.
Oh.
I'm not going to leave him in Iowa because he knows too many people here. I'm going to leave him in the Minneapolis airport where he's really got to earn his way back. Boy,
that's right.
Lucky I was nice and he made it back. He is safe.
There would have been more better story if there was more layers to that.
Yeah. Hey, Cass, I left your son in Minneapolis. Sorry. Yeah. Oops.
Yeah.
Sorry. Oops.
I'm sure you saw the pre-race show. You
yeah.
know exactly why.
Minnesota
There's no
nice.
Explanation
They'll
needed.
Be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Minnesotians. Yeah. They're nice.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hmm. Well, yeah, we hung out last week, Blake. You weren't here.
Yeah.
We sat here. In the room? Conference room.
We sat. Yep. Yeah. John Hager kept coming in, telling us about how excited he is for hip-hop night at the fair.
He wouldn't join us.
No, that's a. That's I can tell you, if there's less than 0%, then it's a less than 0% chance that John Hager ever makes an appearance on this podcast.
I
maybe
wish he would.
Well, I would say 1% chance. If there was video, not in a million years. Oh, but not being video, there's maybe a 1% chance.
Well, we had just started recording. We were like maybe a minute in.
Yeah,
maybe.
I have the recording somewhere.
And he came in. Oh, did you keep recording? I thought you stopped.
No, I stopped it, but I have the recording.
We stopped it because we had a full-on conversation. It was like a 20-minute pause, and then we continued. Yeah, it was funny.
Yeah, I'd like to get John on. I think he'd be good. I mean, I will. This isn't me bragging or anything. Or I would put John up against any promoter in the country.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The way that he thinks here, mm-hmm. outside of the box.
Well, and
the way we do things is
in that vein. Like he's not necessarily
a
from a racing background.
Yeah.
Like we all grew up with it. He did not.
I think that's why
his viewpoint from an outsider. Because I think honestly, I'm not just saying this. More people this year that I've met. It's their first time here.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know, some people, hey, how's going on? Did you join others? Oh, yeah, it's our first time here.
Yeah.
And so there's these new eyes coming, and they're probably used to, you know, a hockey game, basketball game, baseball game, whatever. And so trying to make every single event, you know, it's a weekly show, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Make
For those
like
people, that's
event.
The one time they're going to come, right? That's the only time they're going to come to Skagit Speedway all season. So you have to make every single show a spectacle for these people. And so... whether they're a new fan or an old fan, I don't care. Like, it's an experience every time you're here. And so, you know, everybody's paying the ticket price when they come through the gate. So, John has that perspective of every time we open the gate, you're on and it's a show. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really important, especially, I mean, you see attendance across NASCAR fluctuate and all this stuff. There's so much more to this than just a race, and you have to have
100%
the extra fan experience and all that stuff going on. And I think, you know, obviously it's heading in the right direction because I think the crowds have been really, really solid here the last few seasons. And just the new butts in the seats, new eyes on this place. It's crazy to me. The amount of people, I'm from Everett. I'm from Marysville, Linwood, you know, and there's the digital signage being put out all the time. And, with the different events and everything, that it's just a lot more people are becoming aware that there's even a track here because there's several people in Skagit Valley that go, there's a racetrack here. And I'm like, oh
it's
my
been
God.
Here since 1954.
But I come here every week, right?
Yep. Yeah. It's easy for us to say.
Of course I know it's there. If it's not advertised to you, you don't know.
Yeah. I'll say, I told Eric I was on the status of the state of the sport panel. There was promoters from Pennsylvania, Knoxville's general manager was on it, and Steve Sinclair that runs races in IRA. And we had a promoter from Central Pennsylvania, and you listen to these guys talk about how weekly racing is struggling. You know, it's a struggle. It's dying. And then I get to drop like, well, at Skagit Speedway, our weekly crowds are up double-digit percent from year to year. And roll it back from 3 years ago, it's not even comparable. Now our bad crowds 3 years ago were our average crowds.
Yeah.
So, we go at experience. It a lot differently, and that's all John Hager. The way he thinks, and he's a sports – I mean, he's like me, sports. And John looks at this like minor league baseball, like we've got to entertain. I mean, you hear it in our meetings.
Yeah.
We've got to entertain. Downtime is the time to entertain these fans. Mm-hmm. That's when we're going to shoot T-shirts. We're going to do stuff on the big screen. And it's just a lot different than a lot of racetracks around the country.
Well, you need to be engaged all the time.
And
we live in a TikTok world, right? You have 8-second videos that you have that dopamine hit every 10 seconds.
Hey, man.
There has to be stimulation all the time.
Yep.
And when there's just downtime and you talking, it made me remember. So I was at a promoters conference a decade ago, and everybody just wanted to talk about purse. Purse money. I'm like,
the cars, but
that's fine.
People.
You're a promoter. I get it. But, and you and I talked about this last week, Eric, is that there's so many aspects to the business of a racetrack in that you're entertaining fans. You're also, I'll use the word entertaining drivers.
Yep.
You're entertaining the owners. You're entertaining all these different things, and you have the concessions and everybody else. When your focus and all you're there to talk about is purse, you're missing 8 different industries that are at the racetrack.
Yeah.
You're not doing anything to entertain the fans. Without fans, this doesn't happen. There's no reason for it to happen. So what are we doing to plant seeds with kids especially? Why are we not out, like you see these like truck events that you take the pace truck to and take race cars to, and like we used to take race cars to the malls and whatever else, and these kids saw them, right? And it was like engagement outside of the racetrack. You go take a car to the corner down on whatever business, and you know when my car's outside Cascade Pizza, those people see the car, they're going to go to the racetrack, they already have a car to cheer for. They're already more invested than whatever. And so it's there's so much more to it than just going, oh, we need to focus on the purse. That'll keep the cars there. You're missing 90% of the whole deal.
If you don't have fans.
You don't have cars because you don't have a purse.
Yeah, correct.
You can't turn the lights on.
Easiest way to raise a purse is get butts in the seats, honestly. That's the easiest way to raise purses is tell the race teams, you put butts in the seats, we can pay you more.
Well, I saw, and I think the social media, of course, has just exploded in the last, 5 years with the TikToks and Instagrams and all this stuff. But like the drone video that I saw of the Monster Slam event, I was like, whoa.
Yeah, we talked about
because I came on Sunday and I saw the video. I was like, oh, dude, like, what?
It's sweet.
This needs to be on TV next year for the commercial. Yeah. Like, so
we got a lot of good drone footage.
You know, plant the curiosity and mom, dad, let's go to the racetrack, right? And there's all these kids that are running around and seeing it for the first time going, oh, my God, I want to be here every week. Like, that's the key to this whole thing. And and the kids coming down to, you're making fun of me with the autograph thing. It's like
kids
coming down in the
pits. I jokingly make fun of you for the autograph.
No, Eric, it hurt my one feeling I have left. but without engaging the younger fans, you're killing it.
Mm-hmm.
You're not planting any interest at all in getting people to come to the racetrack. So I looking at that in the perspective that John comes at it with this entertainment value aspect that's just outside the box, like you said, it's not what we normally all think because we're all racing people, air quotes. You know, John comes at it from just an event perspective. Like, what would I like if I was coming to this event?
Yeah,
and
what you need to do.
He's delivered on a ton of it. So
I don't,
and you see that every week.
You do. His obviously his fingerprints are all over this facility in multiple ways, but that's I feel like he's raised the bar at Skagit Speedway significantly and doesn't probably get the recognition he deserves because he'd like to fly under the radar.
He flies under the radar.
He does.
People see him and they don't know.
They don't even know who he
who
is.
It is. There was a team at 360 Nationals that he was with and they didn't even know who he was.
Yeah. And that's exactly how he wants it.
Yep. 100%. He wants to be incognito. Yep.
There's video version. Not even ever going to happen, but even the way we are, I would say less than a 1% chance we ever get him on the podcast.
I had the wireless cam on Sunday, and I clearly told Cole, I'm like, okay, don't take this shot. And I walked up to John, and I pretended to go and film John.
I was like, oh, you got a job. John, yeah. Throw the camera out of your face.
I told Cole, I'm like, do not take this shot, but I'm just going to do it. He was standing with Kevin. Not Rudine.
Macaba.
Kevin Macaba, yeah.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Maintenance Kev. Yeah, Kev Dog.
Kev. Yeah. Kev's going to school in a couple of weeks. We only have a couple of weeks left to Kev.
That's too bad.
He's going down to your old land.
Racing's on Saturdays. He'll be fine. He can come.
I know he's going to fly back.
He's going to UTI. HVAC school down in Phoenix.
Oh, never mind. He's going to never mind. Okay.
Yeah. He's got HVAC school in Phoenix, so he's gone in a couple weeks. We're going to miss him. He's a hardworking kid.
He is.
That's Blake's. That's my boy. That's the guy that gets him through the week.
Yeah, right there. That's my boy. I'm going to miss Kev.
He's getting emotional.
Yeah, I am. Very emotional.
Look at him. He's looking down like,
I'm going to miss my boy.
This is not good.
Yeah. He's a hardworking kid.
Oh, by the way, Nicole texts me back. She said you're not supposed to need me while I'm putting the kids down for nap time. Oh, sorry. Tan. She wants the tan one. It's popular. That thing's flying off the
Eric
shelf, dude.
It's bone.
Really?
Bone.
No, the ink color's bone.
No. The shirt that's tan is called bone. Yeah. It's called bone.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that. Yeah.
We'll call it bone,
that
I guess.
Is called, it's called bone.
Let's have Eric get a post out on social media that we can see the colors. Yeah. New hoodies available now. Limited time.
Eric had the t-shirt on yesterday.
I did.
I like this idea.
I didn't get the t-shirt.
Of, like, this limited edition merch.
I do too. Yeah, that's if you're listening and you see our Skagit merch, buy it when you can because don't assume it's going to be there next week because we do very limited runs.
Yes.
And once we're gone, we're gone. So there's my tip to you. Yeah. If you like what you see, don't assume you can get it next week because it may sell out in one night.
I got mine at Monster Slam. I was like, I did too.
And that's the whole purpose of it. We want to create that demand urgency. Of like, hey, the shirt's going to be gone. So that's our tip to you.
Let's do
another
run of no.
Exactly. Nope. So if you see a t-shirt and you want it, I would highly recommend getting it then because you may not see it in a week.
This tattoo
style
one
grew on me a lot.
When I wore it, it wasn't, I guess, like, really advertised, but I wore it around. People were like, where'd you get that shirt? And I'm like, at the souvenir booth? Like,
so I mean, I'm guilty of it because the Built for Speed shirt, the first one we did this year, I didn't get it. And I just thought, I'll get it in a week or two.
Yeah.
And I went down there to get a large. Like, we're out.
I know.
We're out of larges.
I had to go to an extra large because the large was out.
We have 2X and 3X left, and that's it.
Tragic.
Well, and they didn't have mediums. Yeah, so now we can get a hoodie. So I'll probably get a hoodie because I love hoodie season in Washington. Yeah. That's a beautiful.
Washington
I will
is
say
the, hoodie season.
That is the beautiful part about the state of Washington is you can wear a hoodie 50 weeks a year.
Yep.
Outside the time zone sucks.
Outside of our
but
time
I can wear my hoodies.
Sucks.
The time got the hoodie in.
Sucks. Time zone's awful, but
vastly
the state.
Disagree.
I mean, the beauty. It's wonderful out here. State. So I mean, I did a lot of talking Skagit back home at Knoxville last weekend. The interest to come to Skagit, I feel like, is way higher than it was even a year ago. I think people notice what we're doing, and obviously having $200,000 paydays helps. But
I was going
to
say, you're making headlines.
People know us in the Midwest. I talked Skagit for hours every day with different race fans out in the concourse. Yeah. Just sitting there, people come up and people stop me eating lunch to talk Skagit. So.
Well, and I think Wade's
a lot
huge
of visitors.
Yeah. Wade Anja going back there to Knoxville. Yep. Dude, he loved it. When he came to the shop, he took like 17 hours of video of just like the view from the shop.
Yeah.
This is breathtaking. I was like, man, you got to drive up Highway 20. Like, you got
to
go see the views up there. But he loves
go to
it out here. Oh my gosh. Yeah, go to Deming. That's right.
Right in the
shout out Deming Speedway.
If we could have got him to Deming, we would have got him to Deming.
Yeah, if Deming
yeah, I
Deming
guess Deming
wasn't
was closed.
Otherwise, he would have came.
Yeah, 100%.
I would have pulled Wade.
Dirty Deming, Dirt Cup.
It was the dirtiest of cups.
Yeah, the
dirt
best
cup.
2025.
Yeah.
Well, Trey Stark's champion. I think he still has his champion shirts. Those were limited run too, though.
Yeah, so get them now, Eric Liss. Get them while they're hot.
Hot off the press.
Stop down to the driver merchandise booth if you're coming this week. We got a lot of new merchandise down there.
There's
I know a lot of drivers.
I remember like 10
and we
years
don't
ago.
Keep any of that. We keep all. It goes all to the drivers. So don't assume that Skagit Speedway is making a profit by us.
No,
that was the craziest thing to me.
It's like we don't keep a thing.
Yeah, that it's like, hey, we'll sell your stuff. It's like, okay, well, what's the
catch?
Cost? Nothing. Just here's your envelope and. Because they do Venmo and everything else too, right? Yeah. But it all goes just straight to the drivers.
It's a way for you
like,
drivers
whoa.
To make some money and teams to, I think that
Kev, was a really cool.
Kev has a and John have a very good understanding, obviously, of what it takes to run a sprint car team and any team, whether you're a modified Hornet. I mean,
oh, there's merch for everybody. Adam Holtrip stuff's down there.
And buy a driver t-shirt.
There was some Hornet stuff I saw.
Know it's going to sporty stuff. Know it's, you can know that 100% of it's going back to whatever team you buy from. So that's a good thing. But yeah, we got a lot happening at Skagit. We've got 7 busy weeks left in our schedule. And it kind of, this week's one of them with double duty for the 360s and 410s. Next week, the 360s are back for all phase heating and air night. And then
Birch Equipment Night this Saturday.
And then Skagit Nationals time with Kubota High Limit Racing.
Yep. There's the first responders night too.
Yep,
Nelson
Reisner
night.
Yeah. All gas, no brakes night.
All gas, no. I saw that. I was like, oh, that's pretty.
And then we've got the Skagit Casino. Yep. Season championship weekend, JY.
I know, Friday, Saturday. That's cool. What I like about that is because those nights, I remember in the past, could be grueling with 6 classes.
And it's like you guys didn't get to race much. It was kind of like you had a dash and then an A main. So it wasn't a whole lot of value to the race fan.
It was the top 6 went and did a dash. There was no like heat race, whatever thing. So
value to the race fans.
I mean, of course, you get the fireworks show, which is one of the best
around
in the state, I would
say.
Yeah,
easily.
I'd
put us up there.
And so with the fireworks stuff, it's like, well, we only saw a little bit of racing. But when that happened, you had 6 classes. So it was almost better that you didn't have.
Yeah.
Because it's getting through all of those classes. It's like, we need to wait till it's dark. No, you don't. It's dark earlier.
Yeah.
And we had 13 hours of racing. So
then you have Mel Decker survive the 55 to cap the season off with the sporties running Friday, the 360s on Saturday.
That's right.
And then our season's over. Banquet time.
Banquet
October
in October.
10th, October 11th, whatever that Friday lands.
It's Midgets with 55.
Oh, Midgets at the 55. Okay.
What? Midgets on Friday.
Okay.
Midgets
Friday.
360
Fridays.
Saturday.
Yeah.
Midgets, that's what our schedule
Mighty Midgets
says.
Yeah, so it'd be Midgets. Yeah. Mighty Midgets.
The CGE Garage Midgets.
CGE Garage Midgets.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, either way, Justin, thanks for the little guest appearance.
Yeah, sorry. I just came up to like wave at you.
It works. Then we got 38 minutes of fun with JY.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Well,
we'll cut half of it out.
No, most besides Blake's one blunder, it all stay in.
Hey, stop.
And honestly, that still might stay in, too, but it probably won't. Probably not.
Trey texted me after the last
one.
If he listens to this one, he'll probably be laughing right now. But he's like, oh, my God, I couldn't stop laughing.
Anyways, with that, get your tickets online, skagitspeedway.com. I look forward to seeing everyone here. And Justin, at the races. Take care, everyone.